Let's turn to John chapter 3, part 1. Who is Yeshua? Of course, he's the most important man who ever lived, and he brought the world the most important message, a message that must be believed for human beings who are alienated from God, far from God, headed to hell, not heaven, to death, not life, to be reconciled to their Creator and live forever. Not only is Yeshua the most important man, he's also the risen Messiah and the Son of God, who's alive now, seated at the right hand of God the Father, where he rules as Lord of heaven and earth. So we want to be very much aware of Yeshua, close to Yeshua, connected to Yeshua, receiving power from him, learning from him, led by him, directed by him, guided by him. We want to understand as much as we possibly can about Yeshua. We want to line up our thoughts and our lives with him. We want to continue his ministry, which he has entrusted to us, his ministry of teaching, his ministry of evangelism, his ministry of good deeds. This divinely inspired book of John helps us do all of this. Most of the Jewish leaders in Yeshua's generation had already decided very early in his ministry that Yeshua was not the Messiah. Their rejection became the official position of the Jewish community of that generation and has continued to this day, to our great loss and sorrow. However, in every generation, there has been a remnant who went against the majority and believed in Yeshua. Nicodemus was such a one. John chapter 3, verse 1. Now, there was a Pharisee. And you need to know that the Pharisees were a group of religious elites who were very committed to their version of Judaism, their understanding of Judaism. And the Judaism of the Pharisees eventually won out and formed Orthodox Judaism. Now, there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council, the Sanhedrin. Out of the hundreds of thousands of men within Israel, only 70 men were members of the Sanhedrin. It would be equivalent to something like our Senate. So Nicodemus would be equivalent to a senator. It took someone very special to be a member of that august body. Being a member of the Sanhedrin was a very high honor. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was a religious leader, one of the religious elites, and he was a political leader of the highest order. And he was someone who knew that the young rabbi from Nazareth, Yeshua, was very special. And Nicodemus wanted to talk to Yeshua. John tells us that Nicodemus came to Yeshua at night. Probably at night because he knew that sentiment among the leadership had already turned against Yeshua. And he wanted a private conversation with the young rabbi that would not become known to the other leaders. So he wanted a discreet, private conversation. He came to Yeshua by night. And he said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher. You're a rabbi who has come from God. For no one could perform the signs, the miracles you are doing if God were not with him." Nicodemus had some very good spiritual understanding. He knew Yeshua was a rabbi, who was teaching the truth. He knew Yeshua was doing miracles. And a prophet who did miracles had not been in Israel for hundreds of years. And that made Yeshua very special. The first miracle-working prophet among us in hundreds of years. Nicodemus knew that under normal circumstances, only someone who is close to God is able to do miracles. And so Nicodemus rightly concluded that Yeshua was a genuine rabbi and miracle-working prophet sent by God, approved by God. He was right. Yeshua loves people who know something about him and respond to him with respect, like Nicodemus was showing, and want to know more about him, like Nicodemus was trying to do. They seek him, and Yeshua helps them find him. They have some truth. He is pleased to give them more truth. Now, Yeshua knew that he was the Messiah. And with his arrival, his death, and his resurrection, he knew that God was going to begin transforming human beings in a new, powerful way. Yeshua replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." God the Father is the high king of a very real kingdom. Humanity, sadly, regrettably, joined the rebellion of the fallen angels very early in our history, and we rebelled against the High King. As a consequence of joining that rebellion, our very nature has become rebellious. Human beings with a fallen, rebellious sin nature cannot enter God's good and holy kingdom unless they receive a whole new nature. They must be born again. They must experience a spiritual transformation, a spiritual birth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Note well that Yeshua is making this statement to Nicodemus, who was a great political leader, a great religious leader of the chosen people. That tells us that since the arrival of the Messiah, if any human being could enter the kingdom of God apart from being born again, it would be Nicodemus, right? If rabbinic Judaism, which Nicodemus represents, could save anyone, it would be a man like Nicodemus. But Yeshua's statement is directed to Nicodemus and includes Nicodemus. Even a great political and religious leader like Nicodemus must be born again in order to enter God's eternal kingdom. Yeshua often used common physical realities, which are easy for us to understand, like sowing and reaping, bread, water, light, to describe spiritual realities, which are harder for us to understand. And he did that here, referring to birth. You must be born again. However, Yeshua's reference to being born again was not clear to Nicodemus. "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." But Yeshua was not talking about a second physical birth. He was talking about the need for a spiritual birth, which he makes clear. Yeshua answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water," referring to physical birth, "and born of the Spirit," referring to spiritual birth. We need both births, physical birth and spiritual birth, to enter the kingdom of God. Physical birth alone is insufficient now that the Messiah has come to enable anyone to enter God's real, perfect, eternal, glorious kingdom. Yeshua makes this point even clearer. Flesh gives birth to flesh. The fallen nature that we inherit from Adam and Eve, and which all human beings are born with, can only create more human beings who share that same fallen nature. Fallen human beings can only create more fallen human beings. And now that Messiah has arrived, being a fallen human being, no matter how good that fallen human being is not enough to enable him to enter the kingdom of God. Flesh gives birth to flesh. The old nature gives birth to the old nature. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. Yeshua is making it clear that human beings are headed to death, not life, to hell, not heaven. And the only way to live with God in His kingdom is to be born by the Spirit of God. A spiritual birth. So that the Spirit of God produces a whole new nature in us. A new nature that results in the ability to live in God's kingdom is something that only the Spirit of God can do. We cannot do that for ourselves. Flesh can only give birth to flesh. We cannot give ourselves or anyone else that new godly nature that is able to live in the kingdom of God. The Spirit gives birth to spirit. Yeshua makes it clear that this teaching about the need for a spiritual birth is not new. It's something that a great teacher like Nicodemus should have been aware of. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. And we'll talk more about this in a bit. Spiritual birth caused by the Spirit of God is real. But it's mysterious. Yeshua compares it to another physical reality, the wind. The wind blows wherever it pleases. Can human beings control the wind? The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. The wind blows wherever it pleases. Just as the wind comes from the sky and blows wherever it wants to and cannot be controlled by human beings, so it is with the Spirit of God. He comes from heaven. He blows upon, he touches whoever he wants to. Yeshua is telling us that it is the will of the sovereign Spirit that results in the spiritual transformation of one human being and not another. Spiritual birth, salvation, originates from the will of God, not the will of man. Spiritual birth is initiated by God, not man. It is the Spirit of God choosing us, blowing on us, influencing us, interacting with us, wooing us, drawing us, bringing the right people and circumstances across our path at the right time, planting seeds of truth in us that brings us to the place where we are ready to experience spiritual birth. Just as the wind can't be seen but is real, the Spirit of God cannot be seen, but He is real. We know wind is real by its effects, the sound it makes, the pressure it exerts, leaves moving, branches swaying, dust blowing, water stirring. Likewise, we can know the Spirit of God is real as we observe the pressure He exerts on human beings. They become interested in the three-in-one God, where they were not interested before. They become interested in the Bible, where they were not interested in the Bible before. They become interested in salvation, where they were not interested in salvation before. They develop a heightened awareness of God and the spiritual world and the importance of biblical morality and good character and holy living. They develop a desire to do things God's way. They begin to experience peace and happiness and hope even in the midst of a fallen world. This is evidence of the Spirit of God at work, putting pressure, spiritual pressure, changing, transforming human beings. We can see Him at work. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. Nicodemus was a rabbi. But the Judaism that Nicodemus was familiar with did not emphasize the need for spiritual transformation. It still doesn't. But it should have. It's there in the writings of Jeremiah, connected to the arrival of the Messiah. Days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and the people of Judah. I will put my teaching in their minds and write it on their hearts. They'll all know me. When the Messiah comes and makes this new covenant, there's going to be a transformation so that we really know God and the Word of God becomes internalized in our minds and hearts. It was there in Jeremiah, this spiritual transformation. And spiritual birth is right there in the book of Ezekiel. I will take you out of the nations, God is saying to Israel. I will gather you from all the countries. I will bring you back into your own land. I will end your diaspora. I will regather you to Israel. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will give you a new heart, whole new nature, new heart. I will put a new spirit in you. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh, soft and tender towards God and the Word of God. I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. According to this prophecy from Ezekiel, when the Messiah arrives, there's going to be spiritual transformation for a faithful remnant within Israel. God's Spirit will be given to them, and they will receive a new heart and a new mind. That's a new nature. That's spiritual birth. God's Spirit is in them, transforming them, giving them a new nature. Right there in Ezekiel. Yeshua was disappointed that in spite of what he had been saying to Nicodemus and in spite of the truths found in Jeremiah and Ezekiel, one of Israel's greatest teachers did not understand the need for a spiritual birth. He said to Nicodemus, "You are Israel's teacher, and you do not understand these things?" Surprising. Disappointing. Even though Nicodemus did not understand, Yeshua assured him that he understood. "Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But still, you people do not accept our testimony." Yeshua assured Nicodemus that he knew what he was talking about. He had firsthand knowledge of the spiritual realities about which he spoke. "We testify to what we have seen. We speak of what we know." Therefore, Yeshua is to be believed. And Yeshua informed Nicodemus that he knew a lot more about spiritual reality. He could have told Nicodemus, he could have told humanity a lot more about other great heavenly realities of which he had firsthand experiential knowledge. But for the most part, humanity did not want to listen to Yeshua. And when the truth is not received, additional truth is not given. "I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man." Yeshua is declaring to Nicodemus that he had a heavenly origin. He came from heaven, where he experienced its amazing realities. He came from heaven to earth and became the Son of Man, the ideal human being. If the ideal man, the perfect man who came from heaven, should be believed, if he tells us about heavenly realities, how much more should he be believed if he tells us what God is doing on earth, how God is working on earth to bring salvation to doomed humanity? Yeshua should be believed. Yeshua had told Nicodemus that to enter the kingdom of God, he needed to be born again, which is something that only the Spirit of God can do. Now Yeshua gives Nicodemus the way that this spiritual birth, this born-again process can take place. And there's only one way, and that is through faith in Yeshua. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life joined to him. Yeshua used an analogy from the history of Israel found in the Torah. After leaving Egypt and being in the wilderness for a while, the people became impatient. "We accuse God and Moses of bringing us into the wilderness to kill us. And we complain that there was not enough food and water in the wilderness, and we were sick of the miserable manna that miraculously appeared every day." Sick of that manna. God punished us for our ungrateful, rebellious attitude. He punished us, he disciplined us, he chastised us by sending poisonous snakes, which bit many of the people. After many died and the people were sufficiently disciplined and chastised, they came to Moses and apologized. Then the Lord offered a cure. If they made a bronze snake and put it on a pole, anyone who was bitten by a poisonous snake and looked at the bronze snake on the pole would be healed. And that's exactly what happened. Yeshua is teaching us something essential about the nature of salvation. And that is, the cure must be related to the disease. Snakes bit the people. The people were required to look at a snake. Yeshua is teaching us that humanity has been bitten by the satanic snake. We have been spiritually poisoned. Spiritual poison is flowing throughout our body. If we do nothing, we will die. But we can be healed by looking at Yeshua, the perfect human being, the Son of Man. When a person understands that the Son of God became a man to identify with us, to join himself to us, so that he could atone for humanity, that he died on a cross, that he rose from the dead and is alive now, the living Lord, the living Savior, that person then transfers his loyalties to Yeshua. That person will be healed. He will be cured. He will not die. He will live. He will live forever. We need to be born again. This is the one and only way that anyone could be born again. Next comes the best known verse in the Bible, which is the best known book. Best known verse of the best known book. It comes from Yeshua himself. It gives us the Father's motivation that caused him to send his Son to die on a cross like the snake placed on a pole. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. The Son of God is teaching us that the whole world, made up of fallen human beings, is perishing. Humanity is perishable. Human beings are perishable. They will perish like a rotten piece of meat or an overripe piece of fruit. They will come to ruination. They will come to destruction. If a human being does nothing, he will perish. He will die the first death, physical death, followed by the second death. God the Father knows we are perishing. He loves us. He wants to prevent us from perishing. He wants us to live. He wants us to live with him. He wants us to have eternal life and live with him forever. And the one and only way to avoid perishing is to believe. To believe that Yeshua is the unique Son of God. God's only begotten Son, God's one and only Son, the unique Son of God. And believing means more than intellectual assent. It means knowing who Yeshua is and becoming loyal to Yeshua. So what motivated God the Father to give his unique Son to go to the cross, to suffer and die for us? Yeshua tells us that it was love. The love that God the Father has for human beings, made in his image, who are precious to him, valuable to him. Love is what motivated the Father to give his Son. But it's a special kind of love. It's a giving kind of love, a painful kind of love, a sacrificial kind of love. This kind of painful love and the desire to save perishing, headed for destruction human beings is what motivated God the Father to give the Son. And Yeshua reinforces this teaching that love and the desire to save is what motivated God to give the Son by mentioning the opposite idea, putting it in the kind of negative way. The giving of the Messiah was not motivated by any desire to harm people. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through the Messiah. God the Father sent the Messiah to save perishing humanity, not to condemn humanity, because humanity had already been condemned. Humanity is condemned. We were condemned long before Yeshua was sent to us. The Lord warned Adam, "You must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat it, mot tamut, dying, you will die. You will certainly die." When Adam and Eve disobeyed, the verdict was determined. Adam and Eve and everyone who had come from them were guilty of sin, disobedience, rebellion, and condemned to death. The first death followed by the second death. Humanity was already condemned before Yeshua arrived. But thanks be to God, there is a way to escape the death sentence. There is a way to be pardoned. Yeshua goes on to promise, whoever believes in the Son is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. There is a way out. Refusal to accept the one way out will result in condemnation. The way to escape the execution that follows condemnation is by believing in God's unique Son, becoming loyal to Yeshua. This means that a Yeshua rejecting Judaism cannot be the way. This means that Islam cannot be the way. This means that being a good person, your good deeds outweighing your bad deeds, keeping the Ten Commandments, they cannot be the way. The only way is by believing in God's one and only Son. Escaping execution after being condemned to death is not complicated. It's simple. Just believe in Yeshua. Just know who he is and transfer your loyalties to him. That's it. Even though it's so simple, most people will not be pardoned. They could be pardoned. They will not be pardoned. Yeshua tells us why. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Humanity is endarkened, full of darkness. Our thinking is dark and chaotic. We are confused about the most important things, like God and the way of salvation and the inspiration of the Bible and the proper way to live and the reality of sin and the day of judgment and heaven and hell. Confused, chaotic about the most important, most basic things. Humanity is endarkened, which also means that people have wicked thoughts and engage in shameful behaviors. And we don't like being exposed by the light. It's embarrassing, painful. The thought about coming to God on His terms and the need for confession and repentance and then changing your life and living a righteous, God-honoring life makes us very uncomfortable. We don't want to confess and abandon our shameful thoughts and deeds. Proud, rebellious human nature does not want to submit to God. It's much more comfortable to ignore the light and remain in the darkness. So most human beings, even though the light has come, will not come to the light. They could, but they refuse. It's too uncomfortable, too embarrassing, too hard. But there will be a remnant who the Spirit of God is drawing to Yeshua, who will be willing to come into the light. As the Spirit of God moves on them and teaches them and enlightens them, but they begin to want God more than their dark selves. They want the truth more than ignorance. They want God's approval more than the world's approval. They become willing to make the changes they need to make. They become willing to experience uncomfortableness, shame, sacrifice, hardship, in order to leave the darkness and come into the light. So, who is Yeshua, according to this first part of this divinely inspired third chapter of the book of John? Yeshua is a rabbi who taught the truth. If the truth sets us free, and it does, then to be set free from captivity to Satan and the demons, sin and the sin nature, set free from the death sentence already pronounced on condemned humanity, you need Yeshua. Yeshua is a prophet. A prophet speaks for God. Do you want God to speak to you? You need Yeshua. Yeshua is someone who knows we must receive a new nature in order to join God in His real and eternal kingdom. And being born again only comes from the activity of the Spirit of Yeshua. Do you want to enter and then live forever in God's glorious eternal kingdom? You need Yeshua. Yeshua is the Son of God who came from heaven where he experienced its amazing realities, then came to earth and became the Son of Man, the ideal perfect human being. And then from earth, after dying, he rose and ascended back to heaven. If you want to experience the blessedness of life in heaven, you need Yeshua. Yeshua is the light and is alone able to help in darkened humanity come into the light. Do you want truth, wisdom, revelation, knowledge, happiness, victory, life? You need Yeshua. Amen.